Episode 44 of IBC Podcast.
Welcome to the Integrated Bilingual Counseling Podcast, where you will learn topics related to your well-being, emotions, marriage, relationships, parenting, immigration, and more. And now your host, Jose Villafuerte, and co-host, Myra Aguirre.
Hey, hello, 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 IBC Nation. How are you guys doing? We're so excited to be here. I'm Jose Villafuerte, the host of this, your weekly podcast show. And hello, Mayrita. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good, thank you. I'm happy to be here today.
And as you know, Mayra is our co-host, and we want to start this podcast episode by saying thank you very much for tuning in every single week, being our followers, our loyal followers and listeners of each one of our podcast episodes. I want to share with you guys very briefly that we have exceeded our expectations. We have a number of over 2,000 downloads. 2,000 downloads, my friends. So that's huge for us. And all of this is thanks to you for being our loyal listeners, like I said before. So thank you. Thank you very much, guys. And what we have prepared for you guys today is the 6 effective ways to manage stress. 6 effective ways to manage stress. And we're saying that there are 6 because these are the most common that we've seen with our clients. As you know, Mayra and I are both psychotherapists. We have, in between the two of us, we have probably, over 20 years of experience working in this field. And we've seen these techniques that actually work with clients over and over again. So that's why we put this podcast episode together to describe you and share with you these forms of managed stress. So why don't we begin with a definition about what is stress? In simple words, stress is the way your mind and body responds to the events and daily life pressures. We can have 2 types of stress. So the first one is any events that you're waiting for, that you're hoping for, like a job promotion, a concert, or a date that you're expecting. These events come with a cumulus of emotions and therefore body reactions. This is something, again, that you're expecting, that you're hoping to see. And in a way, these are beneficial because they keep you alive. And the way to tell that these are beneficial is because they do not interfere with your daily functioning. So if you're expecting to have a job promotion, if you want to go to that concert that you always wanted to go, if you are going to be dating someone tonight, those are good things. You're going to feel that your body is going to react to it, that your body is going to respond to it, that your mind is going to be expecting to those things. So in a way, this is something that is not interfering with your daily functioning. Now, the second form of stress, do you want to talk about that one, Marita?
Sure. The second form of stress is characterized by the events that we see as catastrophic in our lives. We're talking about divorce, getting fired from a job, bad economy, the loss of loved ones, natural disasters, things in this nature. And these situations is classified as negative since they interfere with our daily functioning. When things like this happen, we stop enjoying certain things. Like we don't, probably if we get fired from a job, we are not going to be excited to go to a concert or a romantic date, right?
Right, right.
If we have bad economy, then everything else triggers down, right, to your emotions as well, and how you're feeling with people around you, the interest you're putting on other things, mm-hmm. and it starts consuming you. And
exactly.
It could actually go into too much stress, makes you go into depression.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
being able to manage the stress, not being able to separate and, you know, things kind of dissect every problem. Because I know all of us don't live with just one problem. We have a series of things going on, the good and bad. But if we can balance the good and the bad, if we can balance and kind of dissect what we're going to deal with first or how we're going to deal with things, then things start accumulating and things start getting difficult to manage altogether.
Right, right. And just going back to what I was saying before, the easiest way to determine whether the stress that you're going through is good or bad or positive or negative is by realizing as to whether or not this is interfering with your functioning, with your daily functioning. What I mean by that is with the things that you do on a regular basis, go to work, take care of your family, see your friends and stuff like that. That's what we mean by functioning. So here we will describe the ways to recognize stress. Okay, so let's go one by one. Heart palpitations. So what happens with this? I've heard a lot of people that say, my heart is pounding and it's pounding really fast. That could be because you are feeling anxious, again, because of the stress, all the things that are going through in your life. So that's the first one. Do you want to talk about the next one?
Sure, nervousness. That's mm-hmm. that little feeling sometimes in your stomach. Sometimes it's mixed with the heart palpitations. Sometimes it has those like little butterflies in your stomach, right? You can't stay still.
Yeah. And we hear a lot of our clients actually saying, you know, I'm nervous. It's like the common denominator for them. The next one is insomnia or lack of sleep. I got to tell you, this is a big one, especially for me. If I don't get my 7 to 8 hours of sleep, next day I'm just the crankiest guy, you know, you'll ever see. I mean, don't even talk to me, you know, when I'm... Maida knows this very well. I don't get my sleep. I'm very cranky and not even coffee helps. So I just have to take a nap, you know, at some point during the day, I get very cranky. And actually, it's proven by tons of studies that if you're not having enough rest, if you're not sleeping enough, you're going to be moody, you're going to even feel anxious, you're going to feel depressed. And if it progresses, it can actually go into major things. So get enough rest. The next one, do you want to talk about that one?
Sure, difficulty concentrating. I think this one is actually a big one for me.
Yeah.
When I'm stressed, I start doing one thing and then I start doing another thing and then I have a bunch of different things running around. I start texting the wrong people.
True, yes.
I text that, my husband, I text Jose, I text clients, and it's just, I get very, kind of like foggy memory, like what can you say? Like a foggy mind kind
of? Right, right.
Because I have so many things going on on my mind, especially when I'm working. I have a back-to-back client. And then all of a sudden, I need to tell my mom something about the baby. Or somebody else is texting me. I have somebody waiting. So I have difficulty concentrating when I'm stressed. Sometimes True. Even my languages mix up.
I'm a witness of that, guys. I'm usually getting her messages and I guess, you know, she's texting her husband, but I'm getting those messages. Then I'm forwarding those messages to her husband, you know, because I'm the one that is getting those messages. So that's totally true. The next one is fatigue. And fatigue goes along with insomnia. So if you're not getting enough sleep, you're going to be tired. You're going to feel fatigue. So again, this is something to consider because you got to have enough rest. You got to find your 7 or 8 hours to sleep, okay? You want to talk about the next one?
Depression. So we were talking about this some minutes ago about how too much stress and not being able to manage and decompress does accumulate and takes us to depression. And it's like depression is... The bigger picture after mm-hmm. stress.
Yeah. So depression would be something more chronic. So like if you don't take care of your stress, if you don't manage it, then one of the consequences, the negative consequences could be depression. When we talk about depression, we're not talking about just sadness. We're talking about the lack of motivation that comes along with depression, the feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, change in appetite, insomnia, and for some folks might also be some suicidal ideation. So that's basically what depression is like. The next one is indigestion. Is that how you pronounce
it? Indigestion.
Indigestion or upset stomach. So again, this goes along with stress, feeling nervous, feeling anxious. Some people report feeling upset stomach. And this makes total sense. When you're concerned about something, when you are worrying about anything, your gastric fluids in your stomach are going to be working overtime. And then you're going to feel the difference. You're going to feel that upset stomach. So make sure that your stress level is managed so you won't experience these things. The next one?
Nightmares. And I think I don't have nightmares, but I do have very vivid dreams. And I talk, I get up, I don't remember. But when I'm stressed, I have more vivid dreams. I think for some other people, it comes more with nightmares and not, you know, dreaming about very, gruesome things and stuff like that. I think that comes with not being able to share their problems with somebody, to not being able to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. They turn into, our mind plays games with us.
Right.
So it turns into nightmares, which can go into insomnia. Mm-hmm. and it's all like a chain effect.
Yes. And I think that with nightmares is also related to whatever concerns you have. If you've been concerned about something throughout the day, you might experience a nightmare about that particular concern. And I got to make a difference here. This is a little different than PTSD, where one of the symptoms is nightmares, and those nightmares are related to that trauma in particular. So that's the difference between the two. And the next one is muscle tension. With stress, you're going to experience muscle tension, usually around your shoulders and the back of your neck, the back of your head. And that's been reported by lots of people that experience anxiety, that experience stress. That's where the tension accumulates. So make sure you're getting enough rest and you're managing your stress level, and exercise. That's a big one to get some relief of your muscle tension. So now the 6 ways to manage stress. So first, we just talk about the ways to recognize stress. And now we're going to go on with the ways to manage it.
The first one is taking a hot or warm shower. After a long day at work, taking a bath or a shower for at least 15 minutes and don't worry about anything at that time. Just worry about the visualizing your body relaxing. Actually make yourself feel the water on you. Mm-hmm. I think that helps a lot. It relaxes a lot.
Yes. And this is actually one that I've stolen from, my clients. They actually told me that take a warm shower every night after work. It's very soothing. So I find it very, very beneficial. The next one is getting enough rest. And again, I've been saying this throughout this recording, at least we need an average of 7 to 8 hours for us as adults. So try to get into the habit of getting enough rest, of getting to the habit of going to sleep. I don't know what time you go to sleep, but in my case, I try to go to sleep around 10 and, wake up at 5 or 6. So making sure that I'm getting my, my 7 hours. Otherwise, that the repercussions is feeling irritable, moody, tired. So get enough rest.
The next one is muscle relaxation. So at the end of the workday or during times when you feel more stressed, try to practice body or muscle relaxation. And this can also go into, going to the gym, going to some kind of class or something that will just relax you and just put your body into movement also. But with muscle relaxation, it takes approximately 15 minutes and it's done progressively, starting with your feet, ascending to your head. I do a lot of this muscle relaxation with the kids I work with and they love it.
Yeah.
And they actually feel more, they report feeling less worried.
Mm-hmm,
with kids, they have different vocabulary for what they're feeling. But when I do muscle relaxation with the kids, it helps them a lot.
And this is part of what is known now as mindfulness, relaxation. And if you don't know how to do muscle relaxation, I would advise you to check on the web. There's tons of information about this. You can check on YouTube. There are video tutorials that will guide you step by step as to how you can accomplish muscle relaxation. The next one is internalization, which means don't keep your problems to yourself, in simple words. So if you have a family system, if you have your best friend, if you trust your parents, your sister, your brother, just make sure that you can share whatever's going on with you. Of course, if you feel that you can trust that person, that you can share those issues, you know, with that person that you are confiding. That's basically what it is. The next one.
Consider changing your perspective. Jose, you wrote on your blog about a Greek philosopher that said, what was the name of this philosopher?
I'm not sure about the pronunciation, but I think it's Epictetus.
I can't even try. Sorry, guys. So what he said was that men are not afflicted by the events that happen around him or her, but by the way in which men are perceiving these events. So correct. What this means is that our perceptions of the situations that we are going through in our lives are the cause of our health or unhealthy emotions. And I know everybody is different and everybody has different ways of perceiving things, but I find that people who are more laid back and people who take events or they take things that happen in their lives as a lesson or a way to learn something new or as take it as experience, they tend to manage their stress a lot better.
Yes.
They don't make it as we tend to make things bigger than they are or try to not kind of focus on the problem and not really on what we're going to do about it.
Right.
That's when our stress levels really go up and everything starts getting out of control.
Exactly. And like you said before, there are all kinds of perceptions. The idea is to be open to all possibilities. And this comes along with what is called emotional intelligence. And we're going to have another episode to explain what emotional intelligence and resilience is. The next one is get professional help. So if you have tried all of these techniques that we just described here and you see that you're not getting any results, you're not getting anywhere with this, then our recommendation is that you seek professional help. You can speak to your primary care physician who can probably prescribe you something. Let's say that you are struggling with muscle relaxation, you're not getting enough sleep. They can probably prescribe something to help you relax, to help you to get sleep. You can also talk to your priest, if you're a religious person, to your pastor, or you can just find somebody like us. We're trained professional psychotherapists, and we've been working in this field. And, you know, by the way, let me do a quick commercial here. And if you happen to be here in the state of Connecticut and you need professional help, you need to speak to a psychotherapist, don't hesitate to pick up the phone and dial 844-912-9832. You can also visit our website at www.integratedbilingualcounseling.com. We're here to help you. And I think this is it for today, guys. If you go to our show notes, we're going to have a link where you can actually access to a quiz. Take the quiz. It's just going to be a few questions. And at the end, we'll tell you if you're suffering from stress, and we'll give you some recommendations, okay? All of this on our show notes. Let's go again through what we discussed today. So a brief definition of what a stress is. It's just basically how your mind and body responds to events and daily life pressures. And we have two kinds. Yeah, the first one is the one that doesn't interfere with your daily functioning, like concerts, a date, a job promotion. And the second one is the one that is going to interfere with your daily functioning, like getting fired, like the bad economy, the loss of a loved one, a divorce. Okay. And now the ways to recognize stress. Do you want to go briefly about on those?
So the ways that we recognize that we are going through stress are heart palpitations, nervousness, insomnia, difficult concentrating, fatigue, depression, indigestion or upset stomach, occasional nightmares, and muscle tension.
And now the ways to manage stress, which we have six, but again, there's tons of ways to manage stress and you can do your own research and find it. But the ones that we're recommending here are the following. Take a warm shower, get enough rest, muscle relaxation, internalization, consider changing your perspective, and get professional help. And this is it for today, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be with you guys next week. Is there anything that you want to add, Mighty?
I just wanted to thank everybody for listening to us weekly, and I hope everybody has a good week.
Thank you, ABC Nation. We'll be with you guys next week. Take care. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to IBC Podcast at www.ibcpodcast.com. Regarding the subject covered in this episode, it was provided with the understanding that neither the host, co-host, or guest are rendering legal and clinical or other professional information pertinent to your specific case. If you feel you're in the need of support or services, don't hesitate to look for help.